Puddles in the morning, puddles in the evening, puddles in the afternoon. Well, I'm a puddle boy and she's a puddle girl. The Puddles Podcast is starting real soon.
All right, welcome to Puddles with Andrew Collin. I'm your Andrew Collin. Christmas special episode coming from two Jews. It's a big one, this episode. I mean, I never thought I could get him. I talked to his people talked to my people. You know how it goes in the business. But, you know, our timing worked, and he just happened to be at my older brother's house, who's more successful than me, and I get to sleep on the couch as long as I whisper and not wake up his kids. But we were able to get him, ladies and gentlemen, my cousin Mikey.
Hey guys, I'm Mikey.
Who are you waving to?
You know, the fans, your fans.
Are they in the computer?
All 37,000, they're right there in the computer.
You keep giving me an extra 3,000.
Take it or leave it.
I'll take it.
All right.
He's like, hey. Hello. Hello, Grandma.
My dad on FaceTime. It's good.
You're young. You're 29. You're from Chicago.
I am.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to DePaul University. Took a stand-up class with Kevin Bozeman.
Who was in your class?
Jabuki Young White.
And I remember you telling me, you go, there's this guy. He's probably going to be a big deal. He's in my class. He did very good. He's very smart. You know, he's very talented. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm a New York comedian. I'm like, yeah, okay, fucking through college, whatever.
I told him he should talk to him and that he was going to be big. And Andrew said, not for me.
Not for me, I don't need no smart aleck. Anyways, now he's on the Daily Show.
Yeah.
And he's doing way better.
Like a head writer on the Daily Show. Pretty incredible.
And what are you
what's
doing?
Up, me? I'm doing all right.
I liked your class. My bit? Yeah, you sent me your graduation. You talked about your dick. What did you say about it?
Oh, I just said it was this was 2012. 2014, excuse me. And I thought I was ahead of the curve. I did a transracial bit, which was it was just after Caitlyn Jenner had transitioned, and honestly the bit gave her the utmost respect, but it was really without consideration to a lot of people in the world. It was not I guess that's
you're telling me your first bit
my first bit I got canceled. Absolutely. Without question, if that was aired today, cancel.
You're acting like you did this in 1946. You're like back in 2014, but before you could make fun of transgender and be racist, you know, years ago.
We can all acknowledge that the world has drastically changed. And I'm not proud of who I was in 2014. It's just what it was.
I feel you. Anyways, I thought it was hilarious. And I think out of all the cousins...
Trap Golf, what's up?
Are you promoting?
Yeah.
Why are you promoting something else on my podcast? You didn't even talk to me about this. I said, yeah, you want to do the pod. You're a great talker. And now you're just going commercial on me promoting another influencer?
Here's the thing. I worked in commercial real estate for 5 years like Andrew did. And I, too, really was not a fan of the industry. And I figured, oh, what should I do that I love? What will make me happy? And I really wanted to become a stand-up comedian after that class at DePaul University.
Like Jabuki. Who's black.
And then I, like, looked at my cousin Andrew's life, and I just said, stay in real estate. Like, really work your ass off and make sure you get the job done.
Was this when I was still dog walking?
Yeah, yeah. And look at you now. So
still a dog walker.
Still walking dogs.
No, I'm not walking dogs anymore. Things are going pretty good. Okay, so you saw that when I was still picking up dog shit, though, right?
Right.
And now, since I've gotten a little bit of success, a little bit, do you still feel the same way, or have you left real estate?
I left real estate.
But not to become a comedian.
Okay. But I did leave real estate. Coincidental timing with coronavirus.
And you got engaged.
I got engaged.
Engaged during COVID.
Wow. What a world.
Do you think COVID played a role in you getting engaged? Did it speed expedite things? Because you ended up like living together, spending more time together?
No, I think I knew I was going to marry her, you know, within a week of knowing her. But
What was it?
Oh, her brother's 6'4". Yeah, so, you know, that was a no-brainer.
Canceled again.
Canceled.
Not only you canceled publicly, divorce. Privately you might be canceled. You're telling me that you're marrying this woman just because you think your offspring will have a chance of playing D1 basketball?
I didn't specify basketball, but golf would be preferred. She has great tennis and soccer genes. The possibilities are really endless.
So this is what you do. You look at a girl, right? You're like, wow, she's cute. She checks all the boxes. But the big box, the most important box is her brother not only athletic, but is he above 6'2", and can he possibly dunk?
Right. And, you know, her other brother's a ridiculous tennis. They're both male models. So, like.
Yeah.
But
you're very handsome.
I'm like a Jewish 7. I don't know.
No, I think you're a Jewish 8. Thank Christian you. 6.
Christian 6, for sure. I mean, that's.
I mean, I used
who
to.
Who can compete?
I can't.
Not us.
Actually, I look better once I get closer.
Yeah.
Not bad for 40.
You're 40?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's tough.
Yeah, it's something.
I'm turning 30 in August, so I'm right there with you. I feel like I'm.
You grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Florida. My mom is from Skokie, from Chicago. You grew up there. We were the Florida family. How are we talked about in Chicago? Like, was it like, you know, the Florida fam? Were we just like kind of like outcast? Like, you loved us, but like, did you even feel connected to us growing up?
Absolutely. Well, I tell Erica all the time, my fiance, that I
the truly, one with the big brother.
The one with the big brother, 6'4".
What's up, 6'4" and a half, maybe.
And I tell her all the time that I really looked up to you guys growing up. You guys, you're 11 years older than me. Dan is 14 years older than me. And Sam is, what? How old is Sam?
36.
He's 7 years older than me. I connected with all of them. Andrew had more Florida in him than Dan or Sam did. And I actually like picked up. So whenever I speak while I'm with them, I kind of like pick up this like kind of lazy speech that like Floridians kind of work with. I don't know. Is that rude? I don't
know. No, you're canceled kinda, again.
Yeah.
Fourth cancel.
But no, we loved you guys. We wish you were closer.
No, that was the thing. Like, we grew up, you know, my dad moved to Florida in 1979 or something, to Miami. He met my mom at Chicago Medical School. I actually asked my dad how he met my mom for the first time ever. You ever realize you don't know anything about your parents? Well, at least I don't. Like, I don't know any, I didn't know how they, because they got divorced when I was 13. They fought since I was 9. I didn't know anything about them. So I was like, I'm going to take this time to find out a little bit, you know, while I'm down here, you know?
And so, I did the same thing, by the way.
Really?
Swear to God, I've been asking my parents a ton of questions about their past together and as...
Why do you think... I guess, you know, we've gotten older, we've slowed down a little bit, we kind of feel like... Because I think the more you kind of understand that, oh, they've had similar experiences to us, that you stop seeing them as these, like, not mythical creatures, but just like dad. Mom, you start connecting more to them and maybe empathizing with them a little bit more. Don't you think?
100%. I would attribute my curiosity to the introduction of inner child therapy. True story.
Okay, like, what's inner child therapy? So you find out you from your youth?
Yeah, like everyone has.
Or do you actually
traumas.
Have a child inside of your clothes?
It depends who you are.
Depends if it's Friday.
Yeah, it depends.
Canceled again.
Red dots on the screen. I don't know. But inner child there, basically you all, my understanding is you have trauma that lives within your body and you can go back and identify that trauma and work through it and you can release it and it no longer acts.
How did you find your therapist?
Through my fiance. Love her though. She's
now. Were you angel. Was were you dealing with some things with your fiance? And she's like, maybe you want to work on that.
No, I.
It wasn't anything specific.
It wasn't anything specific. I think everybody could benefit from therapy. I'll be the first to admit I have a million things that I need to work on, but therapy is a good way to do it.
I know. But when you say you have a million things to work on, you're like, okay, I'm not even going to start because. A million seems quite a lot. Like,
what's the alternative?
Just staying horrible.
That didn't sound, you know, that's like,
also,
this sucks.
This inner child, how old is this guy?
The person that I talked to said they're about 3 years old. And I
three?
Think that's what they say. That's what they say.
What happened to you?
Oh, well, no.
At three.
Well, so your inner child, I think, is actually, it's like the subconscious.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. But all these traumas could have happened at any point throughout your life.
So, but why are you talking to a three-year-old? Is that when you
That's your subconscious. That's supposed to be the inner child that you're healing and loving instead of being angry at. Or
so you know, it's like, I shit myself.
It's like, wait, what?
No, when you're three, it's no. Like, what is like the bad things that happened? My bottle fell.
No, it would be like if you had an older sister and you felt like your mom gave your older sister more attention and you envision yourself going back to the three-year-old and instead of like saying like, look at fucking mom going over to Susie and giving her more attention. You're saying it's okay. You're loved by so many other people. You give them positive reinforcement. I don't know. I'm the patient. Trust me.
So then like I was saying, so I asked my mom, I go, how did you meet dad? And apparently my dad had my mom's phone number in his wallet because my mom's cousin, Dean, gave, he was in med school with my dad.
And Dean said, Didditch?
Yeah, okay. You didn't have to say his last name.
Oh, sorry.
Fine, Didditch. D-I-E-Titch.
And, social 3-4.
So... My Dean gave my dad my mom's number, said, hey, I have a cute cousin that you should take out. My dad never called her. A year later, my dad was just hanging out with another medical school buddy, and then that guy knew my mom and her friend. And my dad met my mom finally and asked for her number from his friend and then put the dots together. And then... my mom had a softball game, and
what position did she play?
Do you want this to get sexual with my mom?
No,
this is your Aunt Robin. What is wrong with
that?
You?
Wasn't sexual. I'm a baseball guy. I wanted to know what kind of arm my Aunt Robin had.
Everyone at home knows right now. You go what position to your own aunt? You're a sicko. You have an inner child and a MILF family.
All right,
you're getting canceled.
First of all, Aunt Robin, she was a beautiful woman. And
oh, when my she God. Was young, yeah, she have a good ass?
No, dude.
What position would you like her to play, you sicko?
Like, if she played shortstop, that'd be sick. I'd be like, Aunt Robin had feet and a fucking cannon.
Yeah, good feet.
And a cannon.
Freaking freak. Unbelievable. Anyhow.
Jesus, I suck. Yeah, no, like see, this is
calling.
Yeah, right. I'm going to explain to you. I say I suck. I should have told myself, it's okay. We all make mistakes sometimes. No problem.
Wait, my older brother's calling on the phone. So anyway, so then my dad, my mom.
Stepmom. His stepmom's in his phone as stepmom. Sorry. But Jesus.
What do you want her to be in as?
Her name.
I think it's way more.
Stepmom?
It's my like dad's so in as Alan like, Collin, actually.
Like, what are you going to put her in as? Dad's second wife?
Here, 1 second. Let's call
Do you call her stepmom when you say, hi, stepmom?
Yeah, you're on the podcast right now. Just letting you know.
Oh, the waves are awesome.
No, it was very windy. Okay, is that it? Because I'm doing a pod with Mikey.
All right, you both should go start banging and come back to the pod later.
Yeah, Mikey can't swim. And he's talking about how hot mom is.
I got it.
All right, see you later. So anyways, I don't know what position she played. Sorry to disappoint you. Jeez. Let's say she was a shortstop. Oh, God. Now he's FaceTiming. Sorry.
All right, yeah.
So it was either go there or go to, like, a Crosby, Stills, and Nash concert.
Okay.
And my mom wasn't going to go, and then at the last second went to the concert. And that's how they met. And that's how they ended up starting the date. So she went and played shortstop, which she probably wasn't a shortstop, let's be honest. Right. I mean, it was a co-ed league. Yeah, yeah. Most likely you're at second base, right field or catcher.
Right.
No offense to the women out there. Canceled again.
We're big fans.
Canceled again. So what did you find out that enlightened you from your parents' meeting or anything about their childhood that maybe alleviated something or maybe helped you at all?
I would just say, if we're actually going the therapy route here, that identifying like anything you're displeased with your parents about and like how they behave is probably a reflection of how you're behaving yourself.
Damn.
I know. It kind of sucks. It really is hard to swallow because you're so like, oh my God, why do you do this? And then you're like, oh my God, I do this all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Pretty much daily.
It's like, why? Sometimes I'm like, why didn't we learn that earlier?
I don't.
But then is it maybe a good
Because they thought therapy and all this shit, like The Sopranos, honestly, Eric and I just started watching The Sopranos, came out in the 90s. That was like the first, like, well, not the first, but I would say one of the most watched television series of all time that really promoted therapy as like a means to a happier end.
So you used to party a lot.
I did.
You have any crazy party stories?
Oh.
That you can tell?
Crazy party stories.
Any fights?
Yeah.
Who did you get in a fight with?
This is a dumb story. I went to Mizzou my freshman and sophomore year, and my mom's grandmother gave her a mink coat. My mom's the lowest maintenance person on the planet. It was sitting in our front hall closet for my entire life.
But your mom was hot. So hot.
She's a beautiful woman in her... She still is beautiful.
Yeah, no, she's still hot.
You are the sicko calling my mom and your mom
what
hot.
What position did she play?
She is a lefty. She's a lefty, and she has a cannon, okay?
Yes, she does.
She does have a cannon.
Two of them. Hey, yo. And swap. So you have the mink coat.
I have the mink coat down at college. Such a douchebag North Shore thing to do. To even bring
it. Time out. You brought a mink coat to college? I brought a mink coat to college,
yeah.
Okay. And you were wearing this out?
It was like 3 in the morning. Me, my friend, and a girl were walking to Subway. And
in a mink. So you're like, yo, yeah, I'm like, about to go get a 12-inch
sub.
Jared would want me to wear mink.
Yeah.
Okay. So you throw the mink on.
Throw the mink on. We're walking the Subway. We're like in between Laws and some other building. That's unnecessary detail. Guy comes up looking for trouble. My friend is a lot bigger. This guy causing trouble is more my size. I didn't really want my
like a big... college guy or like a...
yeah college guy.
Oh okay.
College guy, and he was like messing with the girl that we were with, who was our really good friend, and he got like a little creepy. And I just remember like having to like throw the mink coat off my back in order to like get into like I couldn't fight. It was my mom's coat, so it was like a small mink coat. I was also probably 220 at the time. I was like very overweight.
You were like a pimp.
It was like Chris Farley. It was like Chris Farley and Tommy Boy. Yeah. Fat guy in a little coat.
Fat guy in a little mink coat. So. But you look like a pimp taking a coat off to slap a bitch.
Yeah, and I had my big black buddy standing right next to me in case anything went wrong. And, like, I just got to go have some fun on this kid who was being a jerk.
No, so what happened?
Cold cocked. He was, like, talking shit to this girl, and I just cold cocked him.
Out cold?
Out cold.
Did you throw the mink over his head?
My buddy was going, it's not like a point of pride. It's a point of shame.
I know. It's weird.
It's fun because I'm telling a story and it's like exciting. But when I look back on the situation, I'm like disgusted. I knocked out a drunk guy and I was like a fucking asshole about it.
Do you think you were trying to impress your big friend?
Yeah. Because I always try to impress big black
dudes. Was it your 3-year-old that hit the guy?
Yeah.
And I threw a punch like that. And I go, get away from my bottle. My inner child. I think. Yeah, dude, I know. It's something like you do when you're hammered. And then I'm sure like afterward, you're like, yeah, and you're drinking beers and you're like.
I'm 20 years old.
Yeah, I know. So do you put the mink right back on right after you knocked him out?
Of course.
Yeah.
Subway on me. Parents buying. Get what you want.
Fucking, dude, what? It's
disgusting.
No, you used to party. And I used to party hard. What? You used to what?
Like, by the bar, my parents. I was raised really well and nice, but we're not like, I don't know. I would take their credit card of their hard-earned money, go to a college bar, and rack up a $500 bill on their credit card.
You just wanted to be like so
I just
bad.
Wanted to be like so bad, and I was just so fat.
So you'd wake up after fucking, so I'm sure you would get a phone call from your dad going, hey, $500 or no?
I think they were just like, we're either going to have to like take them out of school or address this. We like to sweep everything under the rug, which is also why I'm like a big proponent of therapy now, because we really always have just like been like it.
They should have yelled at you for that.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
They're like, why wasn't it 700?
Yeah.
You need more friends. Were you in a fraternity?
I was. I was in AE Pi.
What was the worst
hazing? I actually don't hate AE. I like AE Pi. They were like.
Yeah. No, I think.
The hazing was stupid and all that shit, but there's some good. A lot of good people there, and I was just—I got asked to fill out my 10-year graduation, whatever.
Yeah.
And it said to write down your biggest regret from college, and I was just like, all of, like everything. There was nothing.
What do
that
you mean
I,
by that?
I mean, there was nothing that I did in college that I'm like proud of.
But you just literally the sentence before you said
shame. It was shame.
No, it wasn't.
It started
shame.
As
you
pride,
said you
and
like
then it turned to shame.
You liked AE Pi.
Yeah,
you liked the people you met there. You met good friends. Are you still friends with them?
Hardly any. Okay. I would.
Wait, is this at Missouri or DePaul?
Missouri. In DePaul, okay. I just put my head down and graduated as fast as I could. But I had 6 friends. Who knows? It was fine. It was fun.
So what was the last day of Missouri you dropped out, or after sophomore year you just didn't go back?
Wait, say it again. I guess there were birds.
Yeah, birds are tough.
Mm-hmm.
We're right now, we're in West Palm Beach in my older brother's dope apartment, like I said, and we're like overlooking like palm trees and birds. So it's hard to like really complain about anything right now. And also, I'm sorry about the sound because we're just doing it straight to computer, straight up, because I didn't bring any recording equipment because I didn't have room in my fucking.
Corona.
Yeah, because of Corona.
COVID.
So that was probably why you're not friend too much because you left that school.
Yeah, they were party friends.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure some of them would be like
if
I met them at this stage in life. Just
it's so interesting, depending on the stage in life, how someone stays or leaves your life. Like, I've had so many people in my life that are just like, okay, well, that was that part of my life. You're not coming to the next part, you know?
Right. And that sucks sometimes.
Yeah, because it sucks because maybe they were going through shit during those times, those first 2 years of college. Like, you know, you're all figuring out your own shit. So then you have this idea of that person and you didn't allow them to grow. And so now you're like, dude, that guy used to do, you know, blow and was such a fucking piece of shit. But it's like, oh, he probably was fucking with it around with his inner child at that point.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know if you're like phrasing that right, but the sentiment is right. Like he was probably going through some shit that made him be like that.
Yeah, which made him fucking do a keg stand, fucking finish the keg stand, take the keg and throw it on some dude in Sigma Nu's head.
Right.
And he goes, fuck you. That's for my dad.
It's my dad.
That's my daddy. And he throws the keg like that. You love sports. We love sports.
But I first of all, my dad says by the way all the time. And now I'm starting to say by the way. And it's very troubling. I think that it's kind of unfair for us to sometimes complain about, well, it's not unfair, but sometimes I feel badly about complaining about first world problems like that, or like problems like my dad doesn't love me or something. Like he does. He's a great guy. He's really one of the best dads ever, whatever. But like, there's so many.
Yeah,
right. I saw peripherals, energies. There's probably people with like so much. There are
I think that's something where like I think that's
you know what I'm saying.
That's an old school mentality of like, and I used to have that same feeling, and I still do. I mean, I'm sure I do have that feeling, but I think, like, you shouldn't have your problems, and things that hurt you are still real. So whether it's your mom not calling you back or treating your sister or brother better versus the kid in Afghanistan that hasn't eaten for 3 days, the pain, obviously, one is harder to deal with than the other, but that doesn't negate
make it not
your
real
pain.
No, but it does make it easier to sometimes, like, put it in perspective and make
for sure.
it easier to swallow our problems, knowing
yes.
that they're, like, the potential problem is so much worse.
Yeah, but sometimes people will go, well, it's not a big problem, so then you don't deal with it, and then those little problems add up, and the next thing you know, you are dropping out of college with a 1.8. So, but you know what I mean? Like it adds up, and you don't deal with these things when they should be dealt with. But I don't know. I just feel like a lot of those little things end up, you don't even realize they're building up because you don't fucking deal with them. But I don't know. Sports play.
No, that's the whole thing, though. That
yeah.
if you.
I keep sports.
If you let it build, it's event. Like, if you don't deal with it, it's only going to build.
Yeah. Yeah. So eventually, it's like, that's why you can't minimize your own pain.
Right. No,
even
that's
if
yeah,
you
right.
find it
you're
in
right.
first world it, bullshit.
You're 100% right. I feel like this is my first time ever doing a podcast, and I felt like I was coming off like a little too like race focused and like, I don't know. I'm very self-conscious right now. My ego is at an all-time high being here with a celebrity. Like,
I'm not a celebrity.
Oh my God. When you walked in the room, the energy shifted.
When?
When you walked in the room today, Dan, your brother is worth a gazillion dollars. And I was like, okay, cool, Dan's here. And then Andrew walked in and I was like, shit.
Wow, I'll take it. But I didn't feel that at all.
He's here.
Wait.
Because Erica hadn't met him yet. I don't know, whatever.
So you're, but we go back to, so
but
it's
you,
funny
you really
that,
do like kind of have a different energy now that you're like a bit more established. I'm not kidding. It's like a confidence or whatever, but it's a good thing.
Sure. I don't think it's, I would hope I'm not coming off arrogant.
Not at all. Means. Not at all.
I just think I'm more sure of myself, even without comedy, without any of that shit.
Yeah.
I just know what makes me happy. I know what like kind of makes me satisfied. I know, I don't know. I just feel like way more present because therapy and because of probably medication, not drinking, being fit, getting some farther in my career a little bit. And you just get older. So it's like, I don't, like a lot of my times when I think I would be not feel confident, it'd be reacting to like doing something fucked up. Like whether I got too fucked up 4 days in a row in Vegas and I came down and I felt so unsure of myself or I spent money that I couldn't have because I'm actually already in debt and I just kept going even farther in it. Or like
just more stable.
Just stable. I don't, my highs aren't like insane, but my lows
it's
are.
It's all about returning to the mean.
Yeah, that mean, that 3-year-old mean, bro. No, so yeah, no. So like, if that comes across good, then if that comes across great. But I don't,
is it,
it's not like.
No, I don't think, well not, yeah, it wasn't an arrogance thing at all. It was like, just.
No,
cool.
I
you're doing shit. You're doing cool shit. To see where you start, like where you started, what you were doing, like the past 10 years, and to now see it like paying off is obviously going to have an impact on how you carry yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not. It wasn't
but it doesn't
a criticism at all.
No, I didn't take it as that. I took it as a nice thing. It's just funny to. It's funny when you hear how someone views your own life, like your own accomplishments, and then how those accomplishments actually really feel internally. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like it sounds so fucking cheesy to even say the word celebrity, but like, I'll get that from people. Like, you're my coolest celebrity. It's like, I've never been on television, like, you know, except for like one time for 3 seconds in like 1986.
Real World?
Yeah. So, like,
sick.
Like the idea.
I was so pumped when that happened.
I know a lot of people were in like my small town. Like it was a big deal.
It was awesome.
But like, so like I don't even know what to do with that word because I never had, I never like.
Yeah, but that's not what it's about, the word celebrity. It's about you doing what you're supposed to be doing and doing it well.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Who cares? I mean, like, celebrity, I think, like, celebrities as a whole is kind of, like, change. Like, nobody idolizes A-list celebrities anymore like they used to. Like, movie stars like DiCaprio, Clooney, all those guys. Like, people love, like, David Dobrik and, like, TikTok stars. And, like, that's who people, like, they have 23 million views on their YouTube videos. Like, that's nuts.
No, I know.
And that is, like, the new celebrity. And those funnel in and out, like, every year, basically.
Your
line of business has more...
Turnover?
No, staying power. Like, you have more... Comedians have more staying power than YouTubers, influencers, etc.
Why do you think that?
You
mean, like, people that relate more to, like, the younger generation?
I guess, well, there's different buckets of celebrity at this point. There's, like, influencers, there's athletes, comedians, you know, athletes are still idolized nationwide, and I think comedians are, you're in a good spot is what I'm saying. I think there's trouble with.
Yeah, no, I think whenever you're relying on, like,
my point was to not worry about the celebrity element.
I'm
getting on to, like, something different, which was not my original point.
What are you getting on? And I'm not trying
to, like,
put
breaking.
You on.
Yeah, I'm, like, breaking down, like, the tiers.
No, I get what you're. I get what you're trying to say in regards to, like celebrity has changed. Like, there's not like 10 A-list
right
movie stars anymore, because there's not the movies now. They're like fucking, they're all like comic book movie. Like, Timothée Chalamet is
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, you do.
I swear to God, I don't know who that is.
From Call Me By Your Name. He's in a bunch of shit. He just hosted SNL.
If I saw a picture of him, I would maybe recognize. I swear to God.
I'm just saying, he's been able to.
Is that a movie star?
Yeah, he's a movie star.
Like, I'm 29 and I don't know who that is.
Timothée Chalamet. You have no idea. Zero when I say that name.
Swear as God knows. I'll look him up.
No, right. I believe you. I believe you.
But isn't that, like, to your point, Timothée Chalamet?
But you know who David Dubrovnik is.
100%.
DeBronin.
I'm actually a big fan. And if David Dobrik sees this video, you should, like, collab with Andrew, because, like, you know.
He was actually on Nikki Glaser's radio show. I wasn't there that day.
I mean.
And it got, like,
whatever,
a million views,
right,
as opposed to the other ones I would get, like,
200,000.
Yeah.
Right. So is that not.
No. And I think, you know, the Jake Paul or Logan Paul fighting Floyd Mayweather shows you.
Logan Paul's a genius. He's a moron, but he's a genius.
Well, I wouldn't say he's either of those things. I think he's figured out a lane. I think both are extreme. But I see what you're saying. I feel like that
he actually seems like he's come around a little bit. Continue.
He has. Sorry. Yeah. But even how you're talking about him, like, you're talking like there could be.
I've been unemployed for 9 months.
No,
I've been watching
that.
A lot of
I'm
YouTube.
I'm not coming at you. I'm saying my audience might not even know who the fuck Logan Paul is. Just like you don't know who Timothée Chalamet is. Like, there's this whole world of TikTok and YouTubers that people, like, talk about them like there's, like, these huge mega celebrities.
Right.
But it's still niche in a way.
But you have a younger audience now.
I don't know. I mean, anyways, long story short, like, it is, they're all blending together. Like Jake Paul, if he didn't just box, there's a chance that he could star in some kind of fucking, like, you know, Steven Seagal-ish kind of movie. You know what I mean? Like, there would be money behind it.
He probably will.
Yeah, probably
you
will.
You know, like.
Well, you know, I mean, look, it's hard for them because once, like you were saying, like, TikTok stars and YouTube stars can flame out. So you have to transition, right? And I think Logan Paul has done that, especially since, you know, he pointed out that dead body in Japan. He's really changed. Anyhow, point being is.
He meditates. I heard that. So, you know.
I know.
That's cool.
Back to you.
Right.
Because I think the last 20 minutes of this podcast.
We've digressed.
We didn't digress. And I think people find it interesting. However, I don't think they think it's as interesting as your own story.
Okay.
When your father, my uncle, we kind of had two different kind of parents. My dad was definitely a little bit more hands off, and your dad was sports, especially. He was like on you, right? Yeah. What do you think it's better to have a parent at, probably somewhere in the middle again, right? Mm-hmm. What does it do when your dad is like breaking down like your stats or like how you swung the ball, or is too like active in your life? What do you think that does to you? Does it put too much pressure on you?
I mean, I'm 29 and I'm just starting to like recognize that, you know, I've always like prided myself on being like a competitive motherfucker and like ultra competitive and this and that. And I'm only realizing this year that that's like not necessarily like a great personality trait. Just like means you're like getting into conflict all the time. Really what's happening. I know.
There's nothing worse than someone that's like competitive about something that shouldn't be competitive. And I didn't learn that till later, you know, either. Like someone that's like playing ping pong and it's like, I'm so much fucking better than that. I can't believe I'm losing to you. And you expect like this, like.
It's like perfection. It's like.
And you're playing fucking ping pong on a cruise boat.
Who fucking cares? But I do think there is, I love like
the competition.
It makes me happy to compete and I enjoy doing it, but I'm starting to become aware of like the repercussions from that. But again, I think if you're like aware of it, you don't have to let, you can still be competitive without making the extra comment, you know, or jab, trying to game somebody and like get in their head and golf or tennis or whatever. And I don't know. I love sports.
No, but there is something to like, but then taking that to life. So like, I was always very competitive in sports, but anything else in life, I didn't give a fuck about in a way. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't competitive until probably stand up. And even stand up, I was competitive, but I was not as much as sports, you know? Like, and I don't know, like some people can carry that shit to their professional field and then they're like, it's just business. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And they separate. And it's like, how do you live with yourself?
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, it's cutthroat and I'm competitive, but also that family that I just evicted doesn't have a place to sleep for fucking 6 months. So, fuck yeah, my kid's going to private school. I'm a capitalist. I don't even know. It's so conflict. I don't even know if I'm a capitalist anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But I want to be. I don't know. I like.
No, you want to, without competition, without drive, life is fucking pretty boring, dude.
True.
But it's like, how can you be competitive within yourself to drive you to be the best without being annoying to other people?
Right. I think some people need to start being more self-conscious. You know, people, I feel like there's been an idea.
I know,
like,
but if
you shouldn't be so self-conscious, be yourself. It's like, you should be yourself, but you should be aware of like yourself and how it's impacting.
I know, but then it's like, on that same token, it's like, well, okay, well, I'm going to be extremely competitive. Wow. But if I'm too aware that I'm being an asshole, mm-hmm. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. So what I'm saying is you can be aware, realize you're being an asshole, stop being an asshole while still winning.
Right. But really though, like for example, I hate how I've spoken on this podcast so far. Like, I feel like I've been very like absolutist and like direct, like talking at and like almost.
Well, you started it that way when you started talking to therapy. No. Therapy's great.
Oh,
you were going, hey.
What's going on? Oh, no.
But why do you hate? Why are you already second guessing what we've talked about? Am I going to turn this off and you're going to go, can we do it again?
No, I'm not going to say, can we do it again? But I'm definitely going to like be laying in bed tonight being like, if he posts this and more than 75 people see it, you know, I don't want them to think that that's exactly who I am. These thoughts are fleeting and they could change at any moment.
Okay, so if this was a perfect podcast in your world, what would we have talked about?
Therapy, a higher power. That's basically what we did. Therapy, yeah. A higher power.
No,
sports.
But no, we could talk about whatever you want.
No, that's literally.
That's
funny.
The beauty of a podcast.
There's no guidelines.
No guidelines. I mean, you did get canceled 7 times.
I got canceled so many times. So maybe that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, that's what I think so too.
I think that's okay. So, see, we've identified the problem. And now I'm already feeling like alleviated. I don't feel like I did that.
And you're not. You didn't get canceled. Like, there. First of all, you don't have an audience. You're not popular.
No.
You can't get canceled. You didn't say anything that was cancelable.
No, but I am like, I'm on the tail end of 9 months of unemployment with 2 really great job opportunities, like right at the tip of my fingers, and like. Really, did I need to come on the podcast and like tell a story about me doing cocaine in college? I don't think so. You know?
I hear you. We could cut that out, or we could cut it up in a line and you could snort it. I think whoever you work for and wherever you go,
mm-hmm.
they've all done something in college.
Right.
And if they didn't do something in college, they're a fucking dweeb and you're going to beat them out because we're more competitive. Although there's nothing more annoying than like someone that didn't work out or play sports when they were kids
mm-hmm.
or even through high school. And then around like 30 or 25, they start working out a lot and they're so addicted to it because they never did it their whole life. Mm-hmm. And they get all the rewards and all the pussy and money because they're
who
so
fucking who is this that you're thinking of?
Not me.
Right. But I guess I'm 29 now. So this person hasn't really hit my cycle yet.
No, they have. There's not one person in mind, but there's a lot of gym rats that are like,
They weren't athletic as kids, you're
saying?
They
weren't attractive as kids. They weren't
right.
athletic
oh,
as kids.
There have been some real ugly ducklings that have made a nice turnaround.
And they love working out because they never worked out. So their whole life is like working out because they fucking never did it and they didn't have to do it.
I talk to so few people right now.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who like works out a lot anymore. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, maybe my theory is off.
No, I like, look. I don't, I'm not trying to.
There's definitely that person.
There's 100% that person.
There's
fuck
one
that.
Guy that
and
does
honestly,
that.
Fuck that kid. So.
Yeah, we're better than him.
We're better than you.
While being aware about it.
While being aware.
They're actually, that's the thing though. The person that's aware that they're an asshole mm-hmm. and still proceeds to
no,
do
you
it.
You don't proceed to be an asshole.
Okay. You stop doing it.
You say, oh shit, I'm being an asshole. Sorry about that. I'm feeling like.
Unless
you know,
you're that gym guy.
A little
guy.
Bit less than.
That gym guy can go fuck himself. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Fuck that, dude. Seriously.
Fuck you. Don't say it, though, Mikey. I want you to get the job.
No, I know. I want to work, too. I don't want to end up like you.
Is that cool? Okay.
Placebo. That makes sense. We'll cut that.
No, you won't.
Fuck. See, I got to be in on the editing too because
you can't.
I really don't trust him.
You're unedited.
I really highly regret
doing
this.
Let's end it with one story, one really fun story. What's the one story that you have that you, do you have a go-to one that like you're hanging out with your boys and you're like, yo, this is, do you have an epic story
an epic story? Well, first off,
and it doesn't have to be partying. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I want to just tell one of my favorite stories of Andrew. Our grandma had this like. Jesus, she really did have big boobs.
She still does.
She's 99. She's alive. it's so much to unpack. We were very young, and I just remember Andrew, like, being in the pool, and he used to, like, eat water in such a funny way. So if there's a way for an editor to come in here and just put, like, a pool line, like, right at my mouth, Andrew would come up to me in the water and just go like this. Nom, 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 nom. This water is so tasty. Nom, nom, nom. It's really good. Nom, nom, nom. I love this water.
All right, I'm drowning.
So that's Now, whenever I'm in a pool, I eat water and growl at people.
That's your story?
No, that's my story. It's a very fond memory I have of you. It's like I laugh about it every time I see you doing that in my head. Do you know, like, the...
Yeah. It's a fun thing to do. Also, so you fun. Could, like, pretend you're in a jacuzzi and blow bubbles in a pool. And that's fun. That's fun. How do you feel you did?
I would really like to rewatch it. I feel like I blacked out through half of it.
Were you nervous?
No, I felt like I settled it in after like 2 minutes. First 2 minutes while you were like introducing me, I was like, okay.
I think you're too hyper aware right now.
I'm woke as fuck.
You were canceled. I know. All right, thanks for joining me, Mikey.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck on your interview.
Thank you. It's all for now. Check out Trap Golf, Roger Steele, baby.
Unbelievable. Check it out though. Seriously.
Puddles. Everybody now puddles. 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 Everybody now puddles. Everybody get up because you get down. If you're getting too close, you know you're getting wet. If you're getting too close, you know you're getting wet. You're standing in deep, you're getting real wet. You ain't that deep because you're kind of shallow. Shallow in the brain and shallow in your heart. You'll never get that deep inside the water, girl. You'll never get that deep.
Puddles.
Everybody now puddles. Everybody get up because you get down. No, when you're standing in the puddle, you don't know where to go because you're so deep. You don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how wet I am because I'm so wet. That's who I am. I'm so wet. Wet. I'm so wet. I'm so wet. I'm so wet. Now come on in. Puddles. 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 Everybody now puddles. Everybody get up because you get down and then everyone will come over here.
Yes, I. Not bad.